Before we pray, I would like to read a passage from God's Word, from 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, from verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also. Blank spot. Yes, there was not just any kind of faith, but faith according to the Scriptures. As God's Word says, I believed, therefore I spoke. Yes, we also believe, and therefore speak. That was it. They believed, as the Scriptures say, and therefore they also spoke. It became so great to me, this man of God. He did not remain silent, even when he was in chains. But he also spoke when life was not comfortable. No, he stood firm, and so he was able to proclaim these words, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. This joyful confidence was in him, and he was able to encourage and admonish the people of God so wonderfully. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. These are wonderful words, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yes, we can indeed see that it was not an easy position. It was a difficult position. And he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. That is it. Yes, he could have been discouraged by how things looked at times, but he did not lose heart. Instead, he was of good cheer. Brothers and sisters, why? How come? Because Christ took dwelling in him. Because faith was anchored in him. His faith was anchored in Christ, in the Word. And that's why he couldn't help but do what Christ wanted him to do. And then it goes on, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Yes, renewed strength received from God day by day. Do we also receive new strength from the Lord every day? I think we need it day by day. Without it, we cannot exist. No, even if it sometimes seems as if there is nothing there, I would like to say, he stands by us at the right moment and at the right hour. Even if we have to go through difficult trials, even if we have to go through many things, even if we are cast down to the ground. Oh yes. Oh my God. But here it is written so wonderfully. Cast down to the ground, but not destroyed. Yes. The Lord takes care. He was cast down, but not killed. Perhaps it sometimes looked as if it were his end. When they stoned him and dragged him out of the city, perhaps it looked as if it was all over. But no, things do not go as people want them to. They must go as God wants them to. And so it is in our lives, dear brothers and sisters. We may not all have to go through the same things, but we must go through what is intended for us with the help of the living God. From our own perspective, we could not and cannot do it, but with the help of our Lord, praise and thanks be to our God. Brothers and sisters, my desire and my prayer is, as Paul says here in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, that we too may not lose heart, but that we may keep the faith until the end, until the very end. Let us not lose heart. No. Even if we are worn down. But then he says, our inner man receives new strength day by day. And I think that tonight we are here together again to receive new strength from him. Brothers and sisters, we look up to him. He knows what we need. He knows the situation each of us is in. Perhaps even our physical condition, which is sometimes poor. But God knows us. He knows what we need. It is so wonderful. He knows our thoughts. He knows our desires. Let us give him glory and ask him to give us new strength tonight. And every day, so that we can walk on. Let us stand up. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for this hour of grace, O God. We thank you that we may look up to you this evening, O Lord. You have already spoken to us through your precious and holy word, Lord. You have shown us your apostles and your children in former times, Lord. Lord, grant us also this grace, that we may stand firm in everything, Lord. Whatever may come upon us, Lord Jesus, or befall us, Lord, that we may stand firm in the faith, that we have the faith according to your word. Hallelujah. Grant it to me, grant it to us all by your grace. and be merciful to us all. This is my prayer. Lord Jesus, do not pass us by, even this evening. Lord, come into our midst. Take away everything, Lord Jesus, that stands in your way, that disturbs, that hinders your spirit. O Savior, we come under the covering of your holy blood, which you shed on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah! We give you the glory. Praise and thanks be to you, Lord. Continue to speak to us through your holy word and tell us what you want to tell us. Bless my brothers and sisters. Bless, O Lord, who have come here. This is my prayer and my desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord that we can be here again to worship. The word that was read seemed to be so perfectly suited and tailored to me, but perhaps others are in a similar situation, and we know that the Lord wants to speak to all of us through every word. If he can no longer speak to us, then we can save ourselves the trouble of reading and preaching his word. But as we have all read, Paul said, I believe, therefore I speak, and we believe, and therefore we pray. And when we sometimes go through depths where we really end up like Jonah, so deep that we cannot go any lower, then a glance upwards changes the whole situation. God provides everything at the right time. I have some special prayer requests here, prayer requests from people who are in great trouble, in various kinds of need. And then there is also the request from Sister Brandes. I have been informed in writing that she is not doing well at all, and prayers are requested for her. We do not want to fail in this, but want to make our contribution from the heart and pray and believe for her, especially on a Wednesday evening, remembering all those who ask us to pray for them, and also those who remember us in their prayers. Well, the days behind me have been a spiritual refreshment, and one wishes it could stay that way when times of blessing and joy, of salvation and healing are present, then one blossoms. One recognizes anew the meaning and purpose of the gospel and rejoices in the proclamation of this word that God has left us. I must say that I was not only blessed, but directly surprised to see what God has done in Sicily. And it is not only in the whole world, but also in the countries of Europe, that God has opened the eyes of many people through the message. I have brought with me many greetings. I met some people again who had already been here in Krefeld. And so, all in all, my stay there was very richly blessed. I promised the brothers and sisters who do not have a hall like we do, but are housed in makeshift accommodation, really very makeshift. I said, although the Lord's coming is so near, we will pray that God will give you a hall. You know, you really feel for everyone. There is a pillow here and one there, and everything is a bit provisional. I mean, only the best is good enough for the Lord. And one cannot take the position, the Lord is coming, let us sit back and do nothing, but must work until He comes. And when the individual testimonies were given, I felt ashamed. It happened that Catholic priests came to the meeting of this man dressed in civilian clothes, and they converted and dedicated their lives to God. Policemen came and dedicated their lives to God. I myself greeted three or four of them and spoke briefly with them. I longed anew for the working of the Spirit. After all the teaching and introduction to the Holy Scriptures, to come back to this gospel of the power of God that convicts the sinner, convinces, and so it is written, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will open the eyes of the world and convict the people of sin. And this happens in the meetings where God can work in a special way. I must say one thing. I always observe things very closely, and I have noticed that where there is intimate love for one another, there is also love for God. And this creates an atmosphere in which the Spirit of God can work in a powerful way. And so, I really only have the best to report. The TV cameras were rolling, and this man has had his own radio station for 2 years in Italy, reaching not only Palermo with over 1 million inhabitants, but also the surrounding area of about 30 kilometers. He starts his own program at 6 a.m. with singing, testimonies and preaching. And he says, Brother Frank, they are slowly becoming 1,000, and soon there will be 2,000 people. From the phone calls, from everything you hear, there is a hunger among the people, but they need to know and hear about it. Otherwise, they cannot come to the faith. Perhaps God has laid all these things so that we can cast out our nets once again to lead people to Jesus. And if God can give us that, it would be the greatest thing that could happen to us. Well, not everyone is called to the same thing. Different countries, different customs, circumstances. But God is the same everywhere. And He is ready to confirm His word and do what He has promised. In the word that has been read, I don't want to read any further. So much has been said that we can hardly comprehend, and it is really on my heart that we make Wednesday evenings a time of prayer again, where many can pray where all can pray, bringing their concerns to the Lord in short, concentrated prayers, so that we can somehow regain the connection with God that we once had. I cannot deny the things that God has done. I cannot deny what He has done, what He has said, nor what He has wrought. And I must say, we can rack our brains and we can search until we are old and gray and we can stand among the ruins and nothing will happen. All of us who were born in the previous generation know that after the collapse of this country, after the destruction of the houses and everything else, people did not stand around and talk about how everything had come to this. They set to work. Everyone set to work, cleared away the rubble, uncovered what was left and rebuilt. Otherwise, we would still be sitting on the same rubble today as we were on the 8th of May 1945. We as believers, and the Lord Jesus says this Himself, are sometimes more foolish than the people of the world. The Lord says, the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. And if God could somehow open a door for us out of this circle in which we are spinning, so that we could come out and God could help us anew. Each and every one of us, and we have all known each other long enough and can speak freely with one another. We all know what has been. Some know the details, some do not, but that is not the point. I dare say we must make our decision whether we want to talk about what God has done and thereby glorify the Lord, or about what the enemy has done and thereby glorify Him. One must make a decision in life. I know it is not easy for me. It will be a divine decision. But one thing is certain. When we hear such words here, they speak to us. And we cannot help but say and testify that we too carry this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The Lord has said very clearly, without me you can do nothing, but with Him we can overcome much. With Him we can go forward. With Him we can look up and know that He has not changed. And somewhere it is written, the Lord knows how to deal with death. We don't. He does. And if He knows how to deal with death, then not only the physical death, but also spiritual death. And I am convinced that He not only gives counsel, but that He has the power to carry it out, to execute it, for He is Counselor. We as human beings are not counselors. We give advice, and then we stand there and cannot do anything. But He is Counselor, and because He is Counselor, He does not only give it in words, but puts it into action, so that we can all be helped. Then hear the next verse. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, sometimes close to it, sometimes close to it. But when it is written here of such an apostle being perplexed, it means that he no longer knew what to do. It was a time, a state of perplexity. And I ask myself, did the Spirit of God inspire him to write this down so that we might be comforted by God and strengthened anew by the Lord in this time of perplexity? Does he want to say to me and to you today through these inspired words, listen, even if you have been thrown into perplexity, trust me, I am Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I am the same and will stand by you, but not in despondency. I hope that this still applies to me, that my state has not yet reached this point of despondency. Then it goes on to say, persecuted, but not forsaken. We can also testify to that. Whatever may have been, God will not leave nor forsake His own. That is the promise He has given us. Perhaps forsaken by men, but not by God. And when cast down, as it says here, but not killed. And then he says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Paul did not live for himself. He lived for the Lord. He had God's cause before his eyes. And I can say that with confidence, even today, without feeling embarrassed. For me, God's work was and will remain my top priority, come what may. God's cause is the most important thing on earth, and our lives have no meaning and no purpose unless God has become the center of our existence. The next verse, which has already been quoted, says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. It is important here to understand that this man did not mean just anything, not just anything we believe, but the spirit of faith, according as it is written. If we believe what the Scripture says, then the Spirit of faith will make the Word come alive, and the Lord will confirm it by His grace to you and me. We simply have to come to the point where faith can work through the Spirit in such a powerful way that it is no longer your effort or mine or our reasoning that we have to struggle to believe. Faith is a divine revelation, an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is the spark that suddenly ignites. The Word and the Spirit come together. And someone said, you have to have two poles to get any light. I know very little. They say plus and minus. I don't know what all that means, but they somehow belong together, and you have to bring the things together so that the light can come out. Here it says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. And I mean that we believe nothing else than the Holy Scriptures, and that with all our heart and with all our soul. Here it says, we believe, and therefore we also speak. May God bless this word on all of us, and be with us all. And I mean that all of you who are here could actually penetrate to God in your prayers without much effort. Nothing has happened to you. No harm has been done to you, nor to me, of course. But my position is a little different. And so I believe that all those who are carefree, yes, but who is still carefree? That is the second question. Basically, it is really true that when one member suffers, the whole body of the Lord suffers. Then everyone is involved, whether they want to be or not, because we are part of the body. And the pain and everything that affects one person affects everyone. But may God grant us the grace to look up in faith. Only through faith can we please God. Only through faith can we honor Him. Only the path of faith is safe, unreachable for the enemy, shining brightly with His light, even when it often seems dark, as the song goes. Basically, it only seems dark. It has become light. The verse before says of the wonderful testimony that the glory of God shines in the face of Jesus Christ. And Paul writes, if the word we preach is hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. And so I believe that we are among those who have been destined for salvation. I have only one wish, that it might be granted us by God to truly keep our tongues in check, not to say anything about anyone. We do not yet know the outcome of things. And I still believe that God has His people, and that the hour is coming when His own will gather together, of course, through the work of the Holy Spirit. And I say, and have said again and again, where people want to build something, it will be like the first time people wanted to build something that was supposed to reach heaven. You know the story, it is well known. When people built the first tower, their intention was clear. They wanted to go up. They built the tower. But everything that comes from people will somehow end in confusion, in chaos. And I dare say that the result of these things is that people wanted to rush ahead of God's work, that people wanted to do something that is certainly in God's plan, but He has reserved His actions for Himself, including the time and the hour. The example of Abraham was a great comfort to me, as I have said here. Abraham, the great man of God, the prophet, who had received the promise, whom the Lord himself visited. And what happened? One day Sarah came. She could not wait for God to fulfill the promise. And she said, Abraham, the matter is urgent. Hagar is there. Ishmael was conceived. And what happened? It was, as Brother Brennan once said, a hair in the soup and a thorn in the flesh to this day. But as sure as God stood by his promise and fulfilled it, even though something human happened in between and caused much hardship, you just need to read the chapter. God brought Isaac in his time, who was appointed heir to everything. So sure will it be now at the end. That was halftime. Humanly speaking, we have all our old man who is comparable to Ishmael. It is enough if we look in the mirror. As Brother Ruth said last night, if I understood him correctly, that some people look in the mirror but see someone else. And that is really possible. You can look in the mirror, hold it a little askew, and you see someone else. But you should hold the mirror of the Word reasonably straight in order to see yourself in it. That applies to me, it applies to you. One thing is certain, the Lord will have a bright church. He will have a remnant. And Brother Brenham said that in this little remnant, the great things of God will happen. I cannot determine how large the number will be or who it will be. My hope and my faith have always been and continue to be that all who have heard the word, who have received it, who desire the grace of God, will truly belong to it. But that is known only to God, not to me. Let us keep our mouths from doing anything about anyone in any way. It is said of the Lord in one place, He committed Himself to him that judges righteously. That is what we must do. And it has become clear to me that I must learn a great and terrible lesson from this. How often have I opened my mouth, even in the car, and spoken to myself or whatever? Did the Lord open his mouth? Did he complain to a single person? Did he go to Peter and say, Did you see that such suffering was inflicted on me? Did he go to James and say, They have spat on me today? Did he go and say, Today they have covered my head and beaten me and said, Prophesy to us, who struck you? Did he complain to a single person? No, he did not open his mouth like a lamb led to the slaughter. If it could be given to us by God, that even in those things that make us to take our head in our hands, because they are so incomprehensible to us when we hear them, that we would only hear them, but keep our mouths shut and say, Lord, you know all things. You know the truth. You know whether it's true. I lay it before you and surrender it to you. Do as you please. Perhaps this is the way that God can show us His salvation and turn to us once again and reveal Himself. May God bless us all. Amen. Brother Rus, here are the prayer requests. We come together to you, O God. I have laid my hands, O Lord, on these letters. My God, lay yours on them, O Lord. Lord, I am not worthy to stand here. I am not worthy to open my mouth. I am not worthy, Lord, to read your word. But Lord, I thank you, O Lord, that I may stand here. It is your grace. It is your mercy, Lord. We come together now, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to grant mercy to all who have written, O Lord. We ask this together, O Lord. Lord, we cannot help, but you are the great helper. You are the great physician. You are the great savior. You are the deliverer. Lord, may they all be set free, be healed through your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we may come to you together and lay everything before you. Be praised, be glorified for everything. Lord, accept our thanks for your word, which has been given to us until these days, until this hour, Lord. We give you the honor and the praise and the glory and the worship for this. Be with us, Lord, when we separate. Bless us in our homes, Lord, wherever we go, at work. Be with us, Lord. May we be ready at the hour when you will call your own home. Lord, we ask you, grant us grace and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.